Forrest Gump.
Good.
Because we're recording. My worst impression.
We're recording right now, so you probably want to.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Well, hi.
Should I do it?
Hi, welcome to the Cosa Nostra. I'm Eddie.
I'm Noah.
Today we're doing 1994's Forrest Gump, directed by
Robert Zemeckis.
Oh,
look at that. Is this the first film we've done? No, we did Who Framed Roger Rabbit. I forget. Yeah.
Also, sorry, little spiel here. You know Sally Field is in this movie? And for you guys who are like, oh, who's Sally Field?
Yeah, that's me.
MJ, right now, not MJ, sorry. Aunt May in Amazing Spider-Man. My favorite Spider-Man. I think I've talked about this film.
I don't think I would know because I don't think that many people watch that movie.
She's also in Mrs. Doubtfire.
There we go. That's where I know her face from. See, there we go. Now we talk
about Amazing Spider-Man, guys. And
I think most people know her from...
Steaming hot take, she is the best Aunt May. Of all of them.
I think we're
just... The one in Tobey Maguire's one, hate to say it, does nothing.
I think that's a hot take.
She's
right
a good
now.
Actor.
I think that's a seriously
but
hot take.
She's not written
and I think
very
she
well.
Just died as well, man.
I don't mean it in any offense. She's a great actor.
I actually have no clue she died. Let me check.
I just think Sally Field is a very good Aunt May.
Okay, you say who's in this movie. I'm just going to find out who's in
Tom Hanks, obviously, is in this film, Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
We've got Robin Wright, who is also known for House of Cards, for those who watch that, and more famously, The Princess Bride.
I think a lot
Bride.
Of people watch that, actually.
Princess Bride. She plays Jenny, who I really don't like in this movie.
We're going to get into, like,
so manipulative
and
pain. Gary Sinise. Who plays Lieutenant Dan, and I had a shock, I was in English class, he's in Of Mice and Men, the really bad
that's
movie.
That's the thing. The first time I saw this, I was like, oh my God, that is literally George. What is George doing here? And
he's also in The Green Mile.
Yeah.
But not Big Rod.
No, not really. Yeah.
Then Micheletti Williamson, who I don't think is in any other film.
Sorry, guys, she's not dead.
She's not there, so I can say what I want.
Sorry.
I can say what I want. Yeah, she's the best Aunt May.
Okay, fine.
Just watch the movies and come back to me. Jeez.
Yeah, but it's not like I've never seen it.
Siobhan Fallon Hogan, who for some reason I really recognize her face from a multitude of films, but I don't know what.
Siobhan, who?
She plays a bus driver in this movie, but she's in something, and her face had a really. I don't know, it made an impression. No one else recognize her?
Well, she's not on the cast list, so I can't.
She is
on
Oh,
no,
her.
I found her.
She's a really minor role.
Yeah, I've seen her somewhere.
Yeah, so we're not crazy.
I can tell. It'd be probably like...
Oh, she's in Men in Black and SNL and Seinfeld.
Oh, my God. Eger? she plays like the farmer's wife in that one. Yeah, okay, that's great. That's where it is. There we go.
All right, so...
What do we want to talk about first?
Forrest Gump, to me, this is a bit of a weird one. Do you guys know We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel?
Yeah.
How it just covers everything since like 1940.
That's what it feels like.
This is what Forrest Gump is. It's let's take a
Not the intro to the Big Bang Theory.
No, lovable Lenny-esque character.
Yeah.
Stick him in, you know, We Didn't Start the Fire and just cover everything about America.
Yeah.
What kind of propaganda?
Yeah, it's... Okay, let me just start. I like this movie. I do like it. As a movie that is just pure enjoyment.
It's very enjoyable.
Not turn off your brain, but like just like you sit there, you watch it, you engage, you enjoy it. You come out of it, you enjoy it. And then you think about this movie a little too long, and things start to not add up. Okay, let's start with things I like about it. The special effects are out of this world. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And it's not like flashy special effects that you notice. Like Zemeckis did a film called Death Becomes Her before this movie, which is very like in your face, like special effects and stuff like that. It's not, yeah. And like all of Zemeckis movies before had been very in your face special effects, like Who Framed Roger Rabbit and like the Back to the Future, especially like part two. And with this one, the special effects aren't in your face. You wouldn't even notice it. Like the simple act of cutting off Gary Sinise's legs.
Yeah, in this movie, and doing it well.
Like you don't think about that. You don't think about, hey, this is an actor who actually has legs. You wouldn't even have guessed that. And putting Forrest Gump into like
into that JFK scene,
into all of those historical situations,
Really?
And, like,
good.
I think the only... They're all good. The only one that I don't think really worked for me, and I could tell it's age, was the one where he is in that interview with John Lennon.
Yeah, it was a bit...
His mouth, John Lennon's mouth movement, you can kind of tell was a bit ADR and, like...
I think, in terms of, like, putting him in historical situations, the one, considering we've talked about Stanley Kubrick's Vietnam movie, Full Metal Jacket, I think Forrest Gump really did not do anything with the Vietnam.
Yeah, but...
Considering it's quite a hallmark of the 1960s.
Yeah, it's surprisingly... Okay.
They bring it in and it just has no... gravity.
Yeah, it's
like Bubba dies.
Yeah.
And then I have this problem with a lot of like not kids' movies, but like adjacent to that vibe
family
where it wants to be family film.
This is not really a family film, but
it's just a guy dies and then it instantly cuts to Bubba like to Forrest Gump in another wacky comedic scenario.
Yeah.
It feels like a sketch. It's,
okay,
not...
yeah, the thing about this movie, okay, let me talk about Robert Zemeckis first, because like we have to, like, I don't think I did this on Who Framed Roger Rabbit because maybe we're running out of time or I forgot. Robert Zemeckis is, by all accounts, an extremely talented director.
Yeah.
He's made some really, really good stuff, okay? And he's definitely capable of making, like, if you just look at his pre-2000 stuff, that's enough to put him into, like, the Hall of Fame for, like, best directors ever. Because, you know... Yeah, like, he had, like, the Back to the Future trilogy, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Forrest Gump, and Castaway. You can put all those...
I don't know if it's best directors of all time, because they all kind of have that niche.
Yeah,
But it's very good run.
Yeah, like, Robert Zemeckis is in this weird place.
It's like Pavement's 5-album run. It's like, yeah, it's good, but is it, like, best albums of all time? No.
Well, with him, it's like he's kind of in this weird place where he's not like part of that Spielberg, like Scorsese, like Coppola, like kind of crew of like movie brats from the 70s who are making like kind of like edgy, like darker movies, like, you know, The Godfather and, you know, Taxi Driver, like morally gray movies. But he's not kind of part of the new generation, like not the new generation, but people who started making movies in like the 90s and 2000s, like Tarantino or Nolan or like Wes Anderson or something
with,
like that.
Spielberg.
No, he's actually kind of in the middle because like, He didn't make any, like, at least until, like, Forrest Gump isn't even that edgy of a movie, I'm going to be honest. He never made any of those, like, kind of 70s gritty, like, Taxi Driver, like, Mean Streets, those kind of movies. But he wasn't part of the generation, like, who were making, like, Memento and, like, Royal Tenenbaums and, like,
Memento.
Or, like, Pulp Fiction or, like, stuff like that. He wasn't part. He's in this kind of weird space. And I think when he really likes special effects, okay. And people are always like, oh, what happened to Robert Zemeckis? He likes special effects too much. He always did.
Oh,
yeesh. He always did. You know, you even watch his first film, I Wanna Hold Your Hand. That's all about, like, Beatlemania and stuff like that. And that movie is kind of trying to do a magic trick that he perfects in Forrest Gump by having, not actually having the Beatles, but having them, their kind of likeness there by kind of, like, kind of hiding and stuff like that. It's an interesting movie. I think it's quite famous that the Beatles don't really like licensing that out their music.
Yeah.
Do you know that? So the only two movies I can think of that really licensed their music out is, I think, at the end of The Social Network.
Yeah.
I can't remember what song they use at the end of The Social Network, but it's a Beatles song.
Baby, I'm a Rich Man, but it's a really unknown song, but it's very good.
Yeah, and it's like...
Do you know what? Yeah. At the very end, when he's, like, sat at the laptop and he's, like, reloading, they play...
So that and... I can't remember the other one, but Ferris Bueller. Yeah. That and Ferris Bueller's Day Off are the only ones, because the Beatles are, like, Elvis, and, like, it is so hard to license out
except
their music.
Except the Elvis movie.
Yeah, but, you know.
I gotta say, on the topic of licensing music, everyone says, like, music biopics are the worst genre of film. And to an extent, they're right. But there is a worse one, which is the music biopics where they don't have the license to the music.
Is that a
Have
thing?
You not heard about this?
I've never seen...
There's a Jimi Hendrix movie with... what's his name? The guy who made... it's called Jimmy All Is By My Side. And it's starring... Andre 3000 is Jimi Hendrix.
Wow.
But they don't have the rights to his music.
That's crazy.
Or there's a Morrissey movie called England Is Mine, and they don't have the rights to the to the music. So it's Morrissey pre-Smith, but there's nothing to talk about.
Interesting. That's weird. I don't understand the point of Mickey. Really?
Yes, there's a Bowie one as well. And it's like when there's some of the most iconic music ever and you just don't.
That's kind of weird. But yeah, so like he made like I Want to Hold Your Hand and stuff like that. And where he's kind of messing around with like special effects. And with this movie, this is the kind of pinnacle of like after this movie, he goes a little too far. I think after Castaway and having to deal with like Tom Hanks losing weight and stuff like that, and waiting 6 months, he's like, screw it. I'm not going to deal with humans anymore. I'm just going to work with, like, I don't know, CGI, you know, and that starts this whole mocap thing. So for you, what doesn't work about this movie?
I think, as I said, there's a lot of quite dense stuff that happens in the 60s that require almost a movie to itself. And they kind of just like skim over it and make it all like happy dandy.
It's very weird. It's like this movie is set between, let's be honest, about like mid 50s to like the early mid 80s. And it's like the movie really does skip over the 60s because you skip over like a lot of like the free love kind of movement. Kind of thing.
And then when
you skip over Woodstock, you skip over the entire civil rights movement.
You
leave it just to like one scene with the Black Panthers.
It's also very much like America is a great country.
Yeah, it's a boomer fantasy.
It's
the kind of thing like the thing with this movie that doesn't work is that like the thing with Jenny and Forrest Gump, I don't get what they're trying to say here.
Jenny almost commits suicide, I thought was really.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, Forrest Gump is a man who his entire life has done nothing but listen to orders. And what does that get him? That gives him fame. He's got war medals. He became a ping pong champion. He started a successful shrimping business. He became, he invested in Apple. He became a millionaire, you know?
Correct.
Jenny is somebody who wanted to live her own life and, you know, disregard the oppressive system. And what happens to her? She gets kicked out of high school. She gets AIDS. She nearly commits suicide. And finally, at about age 40, she dies. Like, what is the message supposed to be here? Follow orders your entire life and your life will be fine?
Yeah. I don't like it. And also, I think that there's a lot of, like, again, quite serious subject matter. That is
Half of this feels like a satire.
It feels like an SNL sketch about this.
Yes.
Like, Lieutenant Dan, they try and talk a bit about PTSD. They attempt with the Christmas party scene. And it just comes off as, like, weird and wacky. They try and talk about, like, the special needs movement and like that becoming a thing with Forrest.
They never really set up. And like,
and
this
it just
whole
comes
movie
off as like stupid.
This whole movie is just like, there's a lot of serious stuff that happens. You know, like all those bits where like they talk about like, oh, you know, I don't know. Later, somebody shot that young president. And then after that, somebody shot his little brother too. I guess a lot of people just didn't like him very much. And it's like, wait, no, that was, that's like a lot, he puts like this, I don't really know about that. And it's like over these very real footage of these presidents getting assassinated. And like, there's a lot of that in this movie, you know? And it's like, they skip over Watergate as well. And it's like,
that's really bad. Sorry. The actual clip of JFK getting shot.
Not the actual clip. I was waiting for them to do that, but they never did that. They freeze on him in the car.
I was gonna say, okay, that is like, that's bad. Yeah. I know it's on YouTube, but like, that's not cool. Don't.
Yeah, and I don't really know what it is. Like, there's a bit where like,
there's some really bad taste.
Yeah.
A lot of this film is like, let's wait kind of 20 years and then make some really bad taste jokes, but in 20 years, so it's funny.
Yeah. No, it's not even. Yeah, it's like, okay, for example, the bit Watergate is like, what, 72, 74? Yeah. And it's like, it's just weird because there's a bit where, like, hello, room service. There's a guy going through the files in this here hotel. Can you go tell him to turn off his light? And it's just like, and then, like, it just gets to, like, Nixon going, I will resign from the presidency. And it's like, it's like, it reads as a comedy half the time, and then half the time, then you skip to a scene with Jenny doing, like, drugs and about to jump off a building. I'm like, Jesus, where did that come from?
Exactly. And then the scene with the kid. Oh,
Okay, that scene genuinely nearly broke me the first time.
It's really sad.
It's really
sad. And really well written. But my only issue is that Jenny is insufferable.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, okay, after I've gone AIDS, I will come back and now I will marry
you. Yeah, she's like, I don't know. The whole thing with like the guitar scene and while they're at like high school, it looks like she's abusing him.
Not even she's abusing like, him. She's like manipulating. There's this guy who like,
who doesn't really understand what is going on. So let's just manipulate him because like awful, first of all, terrible, not well written. Yeah. Then the whole thing where she's like, Forrest, you're too boring for me. I'm going to go off and take drugs. Again, awful, really bad. Then she comes back. She's like, well, I've had my fun. I've got a kid now. Forrest,
AIDS as well. You look after, now you can marry me. Like,
you look after my
woman?
Kid and then I'm just going to die 2 years later.
I know.
Terrible.
Yeah.
She is a victim of abuse as well.
Yeah, but like, you know, Forrest wouldn't have done that.
Yeah. This movie...
Sorry, that's really bad. No. Like, it's obviously really sad, but... And I don't really know why that was in the film, considering it's supposed to be a comedy about like how sucky but amazing America is. But she is a bomb. She's horrible.
Yeah, she is. But
she's
like,
really bad to Forrest.
The other thing with this movie is that like I
kind of forgot about.
I also used this analogy when we were talking about Temple of Doom. I used this analogy when we were talking about Temple of Doom. But like, this movie reads like. You know the episode of The Simpsons with, like, it's the one with Frank Grimes and it's, like, Homer's enemy. And that entire episode is, like, Frank Grimes going, like, how can a man like Homer Simpson exist?
Yes.
Like, where it's, like, Homer Simpson is, like, oh, this is me when I met President Gerald Ford. Oh, and this is me when I went on tour with the Smashing Pumpkins. Oh, and this is when I went into outer space. And he's, like, you went into outer space. You. It's, like, sure, you never been. You want to see my Grammy? And it's, like... This movie is that episode played completely straight.
Yeah.
Like, Lieutenant Dan is basically Frank Grimes just kind of sitting there and just thinking to himself, how can this guy exist? How can he, like, succeed? But it's played like a drama.
I mean, without cutting out all of the drama aspects of this, the stuff he does in this movie, he meets Elvis and teaches him Elvis's iconic dance move. He does that. He then runs fast enough to break steel and disappear off, and he never stops running. He wins his college a, like, collegiate football game just because he ran.
He gets war medals when he goes to Vietnam.
He goes to Vietnam, saves his entire regiment, gets war medals, becomes a ping pong champion, destroys the Chinese in ping pong, then manages to... does a speech at a peace and love movement.
Yeah.
makes $1 million off a shrimping business.
I know.
Invests in Apple, raises his child. Like, that's like,
it's like that's 12 like, and things. And it's played completely straight. And it's like, again, like, there are funny bits to this movie. Like, the bit where, like, his father, where, like...
Where he jumps off the boat. That's funny.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, Lieutenant Dan! And he just bought this, like, $1 million
Oh, yeah, then the boat just, like, crashes into, like, a village. And then it's like... Are you a stupid boy? Stupid is a stupid dough is. I like the bit where it's like Lieutenant Dan's like entire, like every single ancestor of Lieutenant Dan has died in like a major war. And it's just a montage of Gary Sinise just dying on a field in every major battle. So like there's like the Civil War. There's the First World War. Like it's World War II. And it's like stuff like that. Like this movie's got a sense of humor.
Like, leave me here.
I know, but like, this movie is kind of...
I forgot about that.
But, like, this movie is kind of, like... In my opinion, this is kind of, like... This movie is kind of, like, the inverse of, like, Paddington, where it's, like...
Paddington's an amazing movie, and no one could tell me otherwise.
Yeah, but it's, like, Paddington is a movie where, like, this guy comes into people's lives. This ray of sunshine comes into people's lives and makes it better. Forrest Gump is a person who comes into people's lives and just ruins their lives. Like, you have, like...
Bubba
dies.
Also, Bubba.
Lieutenant Dan loses his legs. Jenny dies. It's like his mother dies. And it's like.
And also, Bubba is pretty badly written, I can't lie. He's kind of just used as a comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
He turns up, he says a bunch of stuff about the shrimping business. There's a little bit of an emotional thing there, and then he dies.
And it's just like. Everybody just dies around this guy. It's just...
How does he keep going? I'm going to be honest. I would have probably had a nervous breakdown years ago when he's just like... His mum dies, his wife dies. Just everyone's dying.
Yeah.
Poor guy, honestly.
Yeah, but okay, yeah, we talked about like the special effects. Like, I don't know how they took off Gary Sinise's legs, because
I think they had the blanket, and he'd be in the wheelchair just with a blanket over his legs, and then they just cut the legs.
Yeah, you've got his legs like spread apart like that.
So what was this filmed on? Was this film?
Yeah, basically every single movie before 1997.
So then they special effects on the film. That's really impressive.
Yeah, no, but like,
I mean, they still do that nowadays with Sinners and stuff. Sinners, by the way.
Yeah, Sinners is basically just an evolution of what they did in Back to the Future Part 2 with having, like, the same actor. And, like, in Back to the Future Part 2, it's really obvious that, like, because you have to have, like, the actors kind of, like, split apart because it's, like, half of the film is just, like,
but yeah,
but, like, Sinners is, like, they're probably interacting.
It's really impressive.
I don't think that kind of technology got properly good until,
they didn't
like,
even use technology in that. Like, whenever the two, like...
Oh, yeah. Okay, there was a technical error.
We're back, folks.
But,
after a short break, we put Muzak in.
So, with this...
just like, we'll be back.
With this movie...
In the 60s one, you know the jingle, so it's like, we'll be back.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God.
Don't use
my Okay, this movie, 1994 is a pretty stacked year for movies.
Yeah, Pulp Fiction.
So, I'm just going to pull up
Leon
one...
Leon the Professional, little favourite of mine, for those who, you know, are out there collecting my favourite movies and watching it. Whoever you are.
Yeah, so, like, it's
seriously,
a...
Seriously, whoever you are, if you see me, please say hi, because you seem awesome.
It's a pretty stacked year. So, you have stuff like Four Weddings and a Funeral. Anybody seen that? Then, like, this was the year when Jim Carrey did Ace Ventura, The Mask, Dumb and Dumber, so...
Holy Run, by the way.
Holy freaking Run!
So, did you hear that? So, all of those opened number one
all
that year.
All of number one!
And
I don't think I see stuff like that.
He did, and Mason Thames, this year, at 18, is the only actor since Jim Carrey in 1994 to do that, with Black Phone 2,
How
Regretting
Train
You, and How to Train Your Dragon.
That's crazy. I did not know that. That
so
is very interesting.
He did
interesting.
That at 18.
I did not
Jim
know
Jim Carrey
that.
Did it at 20...
30-something.
26, 30.
30-something, yeah.
In 1994 with Ace Ventura, The Mask. Also, The Mask 2, oof, yeesh.
Yeah.
What a train wreck.
Yeah. Then the live action, have you ever seen this? The live action Flintstones?
Oh, I've seen clips from that.
Yeah.
That looks really bad.
Holy casting. John Goodman as Fred Flintstone.
Yes.
I respect that.
Casting director, get a raise.
Yeah.
The whole film.
The whole movie, I don't know what's going on there. Like, just, I like the movie's
Do
existence
they not make
for that
a meta
casting.
Joke about the Flintstone gummies in that movie?
I have no clue.
I might have to reference that. That's in 1994?
Yes. Then Speed came out.
Speed?
Yeah.
Speed. Speed. I found this on DVD in the back of a charity shop. I was like, hey, it can't be that bad. It's Keanu Reeves.
Was it bad?
No, honestly.
Okay.
I was amazed. It's mediocre.
Entertaining.
There's a great first, like, 45 minutes of them on the bus. And then the whole sequence after they get off the bus sucks. It should just have stopped. He saves the day.
Well, there's a sequel, so maybe they had more to say.
No, and then they make a really bad joke about how they're Sandra Bullock and Keanu Reeves are going to stay together because of joint trauma in their relationship as they're making out.
Yeah.
Awful.
Then number four.
Otherwise, really good.
Number four, the box office, The Mask.
Another
that one where the special
also,
effects.
Special effects in that is.
Yeah, but that one's very obvious.
Oh, but Speed 2 doesn't even have Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, I know, that's weird. It's weird when sequels do that. Where
but
they
it
just
has Sandra Bullock.
Where they get rid of the main character. It's like Independence Day 2 or something like that. Where they just get rid of the main thing that people liked about it. Then number three is True Lies. Forrest Gump is only number two at the box office.
Wait, so she plays the same person. So what's the plot of Speed 2? She takes the bus again and gets saved by another handsome dude with black hair. Again. cruise control.
Oh, that's
wait, it's on a boat.
That's probably why.
She's on a boat now. How do you pitch that? She's on a cruise. She's about to die. Picture Speed, but with a guy who looks kind of like the guy from Greece. William Dafoe's in it,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, I know. Like,
I'm about to watch
Forrest Gump is the only second highest grossing movie of that year, which is crazy because it made, like, bank, but it came out the same year as The Lion King, so apparently more people wanted to see that instead, which, fair enough. And it's like, this movie, like, how many Academy Awards did it get nominated for? Like, because this movie swept. It's complete. I need to go check the Oscars for this, for that year, because
it's, no, but to be fair, it is the ultimate, like,
Yeah, this is the last time where Robert Zemeckis ever really becomes.
It got nominated for Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Director, Best Adapted.
But this was a year of Four Weddings and a Funeral, Pulp Fiction, and Shawshank Redemption.
Best Visual Effects
that year.
Best Film Editing, Best Supporting Actor, Best Original Score, Best Cinematography, Best Makeup and Hairstyling, Best Production Design, Best Sound Mixing, and Best Sound Editing. And yes, I did that all in one breath.
Yeah, this is kind of this is insane.
And IMDb is blocked, so we can't tell you how many it won. But it
okay, I've got how many it won.
Oh, he's rubbish.
It didn't win Best Makeup. Ed Wood won that, which
fair enough.
I think that was from Martin Landau.
Okay, but overall,
Karloff can eat my.
It got 61 nominations and it won 29.
Do you know how insane that is?
That's ridiculous.
Like it won Best Film Editing.
So it
Speed
won.
Actually won Best Sound, if you're interested in that.
That's Speed. Have you seen Speed?
No, I haven't seen it.
I think we should do a triple picture at some point, and we should do Speed, Point Break, and what's the last one he did? He did one more. Keanu Reeves. He did one more in the 90s. That was no, not that. We're not doing The Matrix. We are not.
Somebody gets
that.
It.
Where was it? In the 90s. Like, honestly, people will be like,
Bill and Ted suck.
No, they don't. No, he made The Devil's Advocate as well.
Okay.
That's not really related to those other two.
No, not at all. And Bill and Ted's in 89, by the way.
Same thing.
They're good movies. I'm not taking the, like, slander on Speed and it's amazing. Oh, no. Crazy. You do Speed and you do Johnny Mnemonic and you do... Point Break, and you do a quadruple picture, and you do My Private Idaho.
Gary Sinise got nominated for Best Supporting
Actor. He didn't win.
Actor. He lost to Martin Landau as
in
Bela
what?
Lugosi and Ed Wood.
I guess that's fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough.
He won
Best. Tom Hanks won Best Actor. Robert Zemeckis won his first and definitely last Best Director nomination.
Last?
No, it's kind of nice because, like, if you watch, like, the video for, like, him getting the award, it's presented by Spielberg and it's... Because Robert Zemeckis was Spielberg's, like... Spielberg was Robert Zemeckis' mentor when he was in, like, USC and, like, stuff like
that's
that.
That's so cute. You know?
Can I just say, yeah, that is genuinely... That's wholesome as hell.
That's the second best, like, behind Kihei Kwan winning.
Yeah, that's...
That was, like, when he his speech there. Sorry, Adrian Brody. You can take 5 minutes and you'll never beat Kihei Kwan.
Yeah, that wasn't even at a point where I'd seen stuff like Temple of Doom or The Goonies. If I'd seen that, I'd be... Absolutely bawling,
crying.
Because that is just like, oh my God.
The day Keanu Reeves wins an Oscar.
That's not going to happen.
I love the guy. He's just.
That's just not going to happen.
He's gone through so much.
Yeah, but.
He's like the real life Peter Parker.
I think I've already told you that he's not really that good of an actor, but like.
He's not.
He's such a good human
being.
He's
got a new movie coming out. He's the best. I think he's genuinely one of the best humans ever made, like ever created. What a legend.
Definitely.
Like, he was, like, lost on set, and they wanted to know where he was, and he was sitting outside the lot with a homeless dude just discussing, like, life. Yeah. Like, what a legend.
See, stuff like that.
He's got a new movie coming out. I think it's called, like, Good Angel or Guardian Angel or something. And this angel comes down to Earth, and he's, like, allowed to spend time there. And it's with all of the, like, it's supposed to be quite, well, I hope it's funny.
So, this year, so, for Best Picture, what would you have chosen? Like, out of... I don't know this movie. I don't know Quiz Show. Have you seen Quiz Show? I would have
picked Shawshank.
Because there's Shawshank, Four Weddings and a Funeral, and Pulp Fiction.
Shawshank, I would have picked.
And you wouldn't have chosen Forrest Gump.
No. Otherwise, Good Fortune is the name of Keanu Reeves' movie. Or I would have done Leon the Professional, in my opinion.
I don't think that got any...
You're all going to give me slack.
Three
for
Colors
it.
Red got nominated for Best Directing. Can I just...
Three Colors Red.
I'm just going to put that out there.
Three Colors Red.
Yeah, but lost to Robert Zemeckis, so... No, I give it to Robert Zemeckis because that is the last time he's ever going to win anything.
Can you imagine the side-eye that...
He died just after he made Three Colors Red.
Can you imagine the side-eye Robert Zemeckis was giving him up the stage? He's like, I won!
No, because Woody Allen, Quentin Tarantino, and Robert Redford fell to
that. It's like that video of Quentin Tarantino when he loses to... Ben Affleck at Argo. He takes like a huge sip of like, his martini and then the guy, what they say, Ben Affleck, and he spits it all over the person next to him. He's like, what?
Do you know the thing where like he's only going to make like 10 movies?
Yeah, he's almost done.
No, he's done. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is last one. That's why he's not directing the sequel. Because, of course, that movie needs a sequel.
No, but I kind of do want to see it. David Fincher doing that.
But it's like, why? Well, why?
Actually, you know what? Fincher, can you just go and direct the like train wreck that's going to be The Social Network 2? There's no chance. I'm not letting Aaron Sorkin do it.
Well, Aaron Sorkin is a pretty competent director and writer, so...
Competent director? Director? Have you seen his solo works?
No, but like, there's like, you've got like the West Wing and stuff like that. Like, he knows what he's doing.
The only cool scene is the one with all the tear gas in Chicago 7. You know, when they all storm and...
Oh, yeah, I've heard that's a pretty good movie.
It's amazingly written. Okay, wrap it up.
Okay,
what are we giving this movie?
I'd give it like a 4.5. I do really like it because I really enjoy it. It's just those things holding it back that just don't really make... I've spent a lot of this movie kind of lambasting it, but honestly, I really do enjoy it, man.
It's a fun movie. It's a really fun movie. I think it's a 4. It's well made. It's
Tom
just,
Hanks, really
there's a
good
lot of problems.
Here, yeah.
I'm giving it a 4. I think that averages out to like a 4.25, so we'll give it a 4.
Yeah, just give it a 4.
But, you know, if you haven't seen this, don't know honestly what you've been doing, do watch it.
Yeah.
I think...
On Netflix.
We might have to do a little bit of a Keanu Reeves spin-off now.
Yeah, like, okay, if you want to start like a series, that's just
I think John Wick is, he's genuinely a very good actor in John Wick. Like, he does a good performance. I don't know if you've seen the John Wick movies.
Yeah.
Especially the first one. It kind of goes downhill after that. But in the first one, the closing scene where he has that like fight out on the bridge, very well acted. Oh, yeah. And also, you know, he invented that like cartridge flick with pistols. Oh, cool. The military now use that because it's faster, and he was the guy who found that out. Because instead of taking it out, you just chuck it out and put a new one in. It's actually quicker. Crazy times. Anyway, thank you for listening. I've been Eddie.
I've been Noah.